We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We begin with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. Governor, thank you for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
So I want to start by actually looking forward, and then we can dig down a little bit deeper into the current statistics, because the one thing that I keep hearing when I have gone to buy stuff at the market, or when I somehow interact with neighbors of mine, limited though it may be, is what is the future in California, and they mean near-term future, months, not years, going to look like? So I'm going to ask that question to you. You're the governor. What is the near-term future, 2, 3, 4 months out in California, look like to you?
I think it's going to be a hybrid of the reality we're experiencing now. I think there's a cautionary tale that's been manifest around the world, particularly in Asia, where they were able to bend that curve and they were able to drive down the rate of infections and reinfections and deaths and started to open up businesses, only now to start closing down those same businesses because they started to see a spread. What we have done in California is we've bent the curve, but we've also elongated it. We've stretched it. And that means it's more modest in terms of its slope, which buys us time to prepare, but it extends out in a way that unfortunately means that this may be a hybrid of the reality we may be facing over the course of the next few months.
So the bottom line is more sheltering in place. People are going to have to be patient with this. It's good that we're bending or flattening, but you are lengthening. We are lengthening.
It's not a trade-off. This was what we posited up front. We said, look, if we can go early, we can go first, and we did it with all seniors that we called for shelter in place, all 5.3 million seniors in the state. We did that at the local level, the counties, your leadership in L.A. moved, and as a statewide, we felt we could bend the curve, buy time, understand the epidemiological realities of this, look at the treatment side, the vaccine side, prepare our personal protective gear, find more additional rooms and assets and human capital, but that we potentially would have to face this for an extended period of time. And I know that's not what anyone wants to hear, but the reality is, at the moment, that is our estimate. But this reality can change if we continue to practice kind of physical distancing and good behavior we have to date.
Well, does the sort of return to actual normalcy, is it dependent upon what? The successful creation, if it happens, of a vaccine or treatments that are considered to be scientifically valid, or a combination of the two?
Look, I mean, the quickest answer is there's a vaccine that's broadly distributed. And let me just say this. We have already a team assembled to talk about the protocols on the distribution of vaccines to make sure we do it in a way that justifies who we are as a state where we lay claim to having 27% of our population foreign-born and being the most diverse state in America, and making sure that we see the world through a lens that is truly culturally competent, and it's not just the haves that have access to the vaccine first, but everybody has access in an equitable way. But number two, you're right, that to the extent the treatment modalities can take shape and we can figure out strategies through testing regimes, through these serum tests, these blood-based tests, learn more about the antibodies, learn more about the immunity, the protein immunities within our own bodies, we could begin to really prioritize a sense of normalcy in a way that is a little bit more targeted and a little more strategic than just saying everybody go back to the Forum and watch the Lakers extend their season.
What kind of hopes do you have for the antibody test? What Stanford's trying to work on it? Because if you can show that people have had this and maybe they have some immunity to it, those can be the first people to go back. But that also requires a level of testing that we're just not at yet.
We're not, and for multiple reasons. Look, the serology side of things is encouraging, but I've been cautioned by these same experts, including at Stanford Medicine, not to overpromise in that space. But it is encouraging the capacity not just to have the traditional PCR tests, which are the swab-based tests that have been a problem in themselves because of the supply or lack thereof of swabs, and then the reagents, these RNA extraction kits to get the viral RNA that comes from the swab into the media to collect it to ultimately do the diagnostics. The blood-based provides us a different additional capacity. But we are in the hundreds of thousands of tests. We need to be in the millions of tests. Even the most tested state, New York, is in the hundreds of thousands of tests. We're simply not, as a nation yet, at the capacity, but there is real progress in that space.
You've had a, and I'm going to use the word interesting in a variety of meanings, relationship with the White House. What is it like now?
It's been, in no other circumstance would I have been able to say this. We're involved in 68 lawsuits with the Trump administration, very high-profile lawsuits on the environment, on protecting our diverse communities, healthcare. But we have had a very solid relationship going back to when it began formally in relationship to this pandemic in January. We were the first state to bring these repatriated flights from mainland China. Other states turned their back on American citizens. California embraced those flights. We brought them onto Air Force bases in Southern and Northern California, and we started to develop a relationship of trust, not only with the Trump administration and the White House proper, but CDC. And of course, you may recall, it seems years ago, but it was a very short time ago, we had that Grand Princess cruise line that we also had to repatriate, and we brought it into the Oakland port in Northern California, and we furthered the protocols and the trust. And that's really advantaged us. That's the reason you have the USNS Mercy in port in L.A. County. That's the reason we have 2,000 medical stations, and the Trump administration, the president himself, has been very helpful in securing those for our state.
There are things, though, that you're tackling on your own, because we have had plenty of problems as we've moved through this. This consortium of states that you've brought together to try and buy the PPE in bulk, because, like you talked about before and like was reported, we've had states bidding each other. And, yeah, I mean, California could probably win the bidding war, but you don't want another state to lose out.
You got it. I mean, that's why I was very proud to send 500 ventilators. In fact, 100 arrive this evening in Illinois, 100 in New Jersey, and 100 arrive tonight in New York. We're also providing additional ventilators for Delaware and Maryland, D.C., and potentially we're negotiating the opportunity to provide some for Nevada. That's the spirit of California, doing more for as many people as we can, including using, as you suggest, our purchasing power, which is second only to the federal government, on getting more protective gear. Let me be specific and brief. We have distributed over 41 million N95 masks. We've only received from the federal government a little over 1 million. So we are truly on our own when it comes to a lot of the PPE, including ventilators. Only 170 ventilators came from the national stockpile. Rather than complaining about it, we're just being resourceful, and we're going throughout the world to look at our existing supply chain, and we're drawing down assets and resources, and I'm very, very proud of our team for being able to procure that, including local government, the county of L.A., the city of L.A., Mayor Garcia in Long Beach as well, not just Garcetti in L.A. proper, have done an amazing job at the local level doing the same.
You're holding up okay, Governor?
I've got four kids, and what matters, you're nothing but a mirror of their consistent thoughts. And I'll tell you, as any parent out there, that's the toughest. The oldest is 10, and just telling them they're not going to go back to school this year and see their friends and can't have play dates, that's probably the hardest thing outside of just helping families that are grieving because they've lost loved ones to the virus.
Governor, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, guys.